Genesis chapter 22, and I've got a word from the Lord today, and I hope that you're prepared to receive it. Amen. God is going to do some great things for us today. Amen. They've let me loose a little early, so somebody say thank you, Jesus. Amen. Because I'm not a long-winded preacher. Amen. And did somebody say, oh, like you want me to go long? You want me to do that? Okay. Genesis 22 and verse 3, Bible says that Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and they clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place. Everybody say the place. The place which God had told him. Verse number 4, and then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place. Somebody say the place. Afar off, verse number 9, and they came to, somebody say the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand, verse 10, and took the knife to slay his son, but verse 13 says that Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld behind him a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And verse 14 says, Abraham called the name of that place. Everybody say that place. Called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Today I want to talk to you for just a few moments, if we could, on the place where God provides. The place where God, how many could use some provision from the Lord? Oh, I gotta tell you, there is a place. There is a place. Would you bow your head with me, Heavenly Father? Thank you, God, for the spirit that we feel in this house this morning. God, this is the place. We are in the right place today, God, to encounter you, to hear from you, and I pray that you would open up every mind and every heart. God, let us lay aside the weights that might easily beset us today, and let us wrap our arms around your word. God, I pray that you would let your word speak to us, God. Let it wash us today. We love you and we thank you, and we won't fail to give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can be seated today. God bless you in the name of the Lord. Perspective and proximity are words that I think that we are all familiar with here today. To put something into perspective is to observe it in different ways. It's literally observation through different lenses in order to better understand. Perspective is how we see and observe the world around us. It's how we do that. Now, there are many different types of perspective. You can look it up. There's on-point perspective. There's linear perspective. Aerial perspective, there's frontal perspective, historical perspective, even forced perspective. If for those of you that have gone to Disney World, you might be familiar with forced perspective. It's where they make things look a certain way by the way that they construct it, and they want you to think it's really big, but it's not really that big. It's forced perspective. And those are just to name a few. It's true that we can get a view of and a better understanding of things in life by utilizing various kinds and proper perspectives. The word proximity, however, is a little bit different. If perspective is a point of observation and how I observe a thing, then proximity would be the place from which we observe things from. Proximity is more spatial. It's more relational. What is our relationship to the object that we're viewing? Well, when it comes to proximity, it's not so much about how I see a thing, it's about where I see it from. And here's what we know about the relationship between these two words, perspective and proximity. It's that proximity determines and shapes perspective. Proximity determines and shapes perspective. Perspective will determine what I see, but proximity will impact and determine how I see it. Perspective will help me with what I see. Proximity will shape how I experience it. My proximity to a thing will play a major role in my perspective of the thing. The truth is that I can drive to St. Louis today, and I've made many trips to St. Louis. That's where my son goes to college, and I have family that live there. I've been going to St. Louis all my life. And so when you drive into St. Louis on I-70, and really no matter how you drive into that city, you can get a really good look at the St. Louis Arch, right? It's a massive structure. You can see it for miles and miles before you even get into town. No matter how you go in, you're gonna observe it. You're gonna see it. It's an impressive structure from any perspective. But it's when my proximity to the arch changes, it's when I drive a little closer to it, when I get more into the downtown area, that my perspective changes a little bit. My proximity to the arch, it's when I get up on it and when I stand next to it and when I even go up in it, it's only then that I can gain a true appreciation of just how impressive it really is. Because my proximity to it shapes my perspective of it. It's when you're in close proximity that I can stand in awe, if you will, of what it really is. The same is true of Niagara Falls. If you've ever been up to Niagara Falls, you can get a good perspective of the falls from a lot of different vantage points, a lot of different viewing points. But it's not until you get into close proximity to Niagara Falls and you walk right up onto it or you get close enough to it that you get a real appreciation of how truly awesome it is. I can see it and I can hear it from a lot of perspectives, but with the right proximity, I can actually feel it. You can feel it, right? It's awe-inspiring. It really is. If you go to Northern California today, you can see the redwood and sequoia trees. I've not done that. I've only been able to see it in postcards and on TV and all of that, but that really doesn't do it justice, and I know that, right? That might be a fine perspective, but that perspective doesn't really tell me how awesome and incredible it is. It's not until you get into proximity of the redwoods and sequoias and you go and stand next to one and you try to wrap your arms around it and you realize there's no way you can do that, that it changes how you see it and how you feel about it, and all you can do is stand in awe of its presence. And here's the truth for you and I today. My place of proximity will determine my perspective. When the writer James wrote in James chapter 4 and verse 8, when he said, "Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you." James was talking about proximity and perspective. He was letting you and I know that if we would be willing to move closer to where God is, that God would reciprocate and move closer to where we are. That if I will be intentional about my proximity to God, then God can help me with my perspective of who He is related to the world around me. Just like the arch, just like Niagara Falls or the Great Redwoods, the closer my proximity to God, the more in awe of Him I will become. The psalmist David wrote in Psalm 34 and 3, he said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." What was David talking about, Brother Colbreth? When you magnify something, you're making it bigger or larger than the actual location says it ought to be. See, these glasses that I'm wearing today, if I put them on, I can see you. If I take them off, I can't see you, right? But I wear these things because I'm magnifying that which is in front of me. I'm magnifying my notes, right? They make the words seem like they're right up on my eyes, right? But my position and my location says that the words, they're not right here. They're all the way down here. But because I magnified them through these glasses, they became bigger than what they really were. And somebody needs to hear today that whatever it is that you magnify in your life will fill up your screen. Whatever it is that you magnify in your world will dominate your view. It will consume your perspective. And as spirit-filled, spirit-led believers of Christ, we need to be careful to magnify the right things. My human nature may tend to magnify my problems. My human nature may tend to magnify my frustrations or my issues. It's only natural to want to magnify the faults or the pain or the hurt. But David said, don't magnify your problems. Don't magnify your frustrations. Don't magnify your faults or the faults of anybody else. But he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Some of y'all need to make the Lord bigger in your life than anything else. Some of y'all need to magnify God before you magnify anything else in your life. How do we do that, David? How do we magnify the Lord? Do I need some kind of special spiritual spectacles? Do I need some Holy Ghost goggles? Do I need some biblical bifocals? What do I need, David? How do I magnify the Lord? I believe that David was talking about our perspective and our proximity. How we see God versus our proximity or where we see him from. I believe David was speaking more about not just how we see him, but the position that we see him from. How do I know that? Because David would come along later in Psalm 119 and say, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy word, O God. And you can't stand in awe of something that you're not in close proximity to. David said, I've been hurt, I've been troubled, I've been persecuted, but here's what I found out, that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. David said, I've been hunted and I've been hated. I've been cast down and I've been cast out. I've been misled and I've been lied on. But there is a place that I can go. When I get into the presence of God, when I position myself next to Jesus, when my proximity to him changes, then the right perceptions will begin to come into focus in my life. Can I just encourage somebody in this house today? You ought to stop magnifying the wrong things, and you ought to start magnifying the name that is above every name. I've come to tell you. You say, Brother Sizemore, I've had a bad week. Let me ask you, what have you been magnifying this week? Because when you magnify the wrong things, that'll lead you down the wrong road. But when I magnify Jesus, when I magnify the goodness of the Lord, when I magnify his grace and his mercy and his kindness, when I magnify the fruit of the Spirit in my life, then all of a sudden I can't say that I've had a bad day because my perspective changes. So proximity has the power to change perspective. And if proximity has the power to change perspective, then it is also true that proximity has the power to change the outcomes. I'm gonna say it again. If proximity has the power to change perspective, then proximity also has the power to change and alter the results, the outcomes, right? You gotta help me understand, right? And if all of that is true, then it would make sense that my proximity or my place is gonna impact how things turn out in my life. And if my Proximity to God has the power to change my perspective or how I see God, then it makes sense that my proximity or my place would also impact how God responds. I tell you, I've got two beautiful daughters. They are, one of them just turned 18 this past week. It's hard for me to believe that I've got an 18-year-old. Yeah, I'm packing, boys. Be careful, right? 18. And the other one's 15, and man, 15 going on 25, you know how that is. And man, they're beautiful girls. God has blessed me with those girls. But I gotta tell you, having a couple of daughters as a dad, when my girls want something from daddy, they've learned how to get results. Brother Enos, they don't stand at the other end of the house and holler out and yell their demands at me. No. Yeah, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. From a very young age, they don't holler across the room. They don't ask for anything from a distance. No, my girls have learned that it's much more effective for them to come wherever I am and crawl up in my lap and start loving on me and start batting those eyes at me and start sticking out that lip, you know. Come on, dads, you know what I'm talking about. They're playing me like a fiddle, man. Oh, the con is on, and I know it. And while I'm loving up on them with one hand, I'm signing a blank check with the other. I'm done. You know? Now, would I grant their request if they were to holler it from the other room? Maybe. Perhaps, but there's something about the up close and personal approach. There's something about proximity that changes how I as a father respond. There's power in proximity. And as a father, I delight in my girls coming and loving up on me, and it's their willingness to get close to me that makes me want to give them the desires of their heart. And if proximity changes my response as an earthly father, then how much more does it change the response of our heavenly Father? Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who seek him? May I remind us today that God desires to give us good gifts. God desires good things and perfect gifts for his children. He wants to heal us. He longs to deliver us. He desires to save us from our sin and from the world that would try to destroy us. But what if my proximity to him makes the difference? I'm gonna tell you, the closer you get to Jesus, the more he's willing to give, and the more he's willing to love, and my perspective changes because of my proximity to my heavenly Father. In Scripture, God always seemed to do things from a mountaintop. You'll know that. He gave the Ten Commandments from a mountaintop. He prayed from the mountaintop. Jesus was crucified on a mountaintop. He ascended into heaven from a mountaintop. The mountaintop seemed to be the chosen place. It was the place where God could meet with mankind. It seemed to be the place where God could interact with humanity and reveal himself to humankind. It was the desired place where God could work and God could move. Good things happened in the mountaintop. Good things happened in that place. Miracles seemed to take place up in the mountain with God. God would speak. He gave the Ten Commandments from a mountaintop. All kinds of good things happened up in that special place with God. It was by all accounts a good place, a chosen place. It was the place. And yet getting man to meet him there was something sometimes of a real challenge for God. When life and circumstances would get difficult, God would call people to a place. He would call people to that mountaintop. When trouble and hard times would come, God would often call mankind to that place of meeting with him. When faith got tested and loyalties were on the line, it was not uncommon for God to call his people to a chosen and specific place. But the challenge for mankind to get to that place was that it required man to make a journey up a mountain. It required man to make a sacrifice in order to get to the place where God wanted to meet with him. Genesis, our text in Genesis 22, the scripture says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. In other words, Abraham, I want to minister to you. I want to answer your prayers. I want to do a great and mighty thing in your midst and in your life, but it isn't going to have the impact that you want it to have because of your current proximity. Oh, sure, God could have showed his glory anywhere at any time. He's God. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. But Abraham, if you want to see my full power on display, if you want to stand in awe, Abraham, of who I am and what I can do on your behalf, I'm going to need you to be willing to alter your proximity. Get out of the place where you are, God said. Start moving toward the place that I have ordained for blessing. Go from where you are, Abraham, to where I am. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled the donkey, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place. Everybody say the place. He went unto the place which God had told him to go. Now, I want you to notice, Abraham didn't ask a whole lot of questions. He didn't balk at God. He didn't ask for signs. He didn't ask for confirmations. Well, God, if you'll do this, then I'll know it was you and I can go. No, he didn't do any of that. He didn't try to convince God to come down to where he was, right? That's what we do, isn't it? Well, God, I'll be happy to, but I'm gonna need you to meet me where I am. I'm gonna need you to meet me down here where it's easy and convenient. No, none of that. Abraham did not waver. Abraham did not hesitate. When the word of the Lord came to Abraham, he at once was willing to obey God and position himself in close proximity to where God was. Abraham wants to hear from God. He wants to experience God. He wants to stand in awe of God. He wants to get closer to him. He's called to him. He wants to be where God is. He wants to stand in awe of him. He wants to obey God. He wants to hear from God. But Abraham's going to have to change his proximity. Abraham's going to have to be willing to get up from where he is and make a journey to where God is and pursue that special place, that up close and personal place where God can meet with him. Abraham wasn't afraid to take a journey with God, because when God calls you to take a journey with him and when he beckons you to a place that he wants to meet with you, the first thing that he tells you is fear not. Be not afraid. Abraham wasn't afraid to journey to a place where God had called him to go. He wasn't overly concerned about all the pitfalls that may come along the way. He wasn't worried about what others might think or what others might say, but God had called him to a place of proximity with him, and Abraham was willing to go. I want you to hear me today. Don't ever be afraid to take a journey with God. Don't ever be afraid to go where God tells you to go and do what God tells you to do. You might not have all the resources. You might not see the end from the beginning. You might not know what's coming up. I've said this many a times, okay? Following God is a lot, it doesn't happen with a GPS system. okay? We've got these modern GPSs today that I can punch in the directions and it'll tell me where to turn left and where to turn right, and it'll tell me how many Burger Kings are along the way. That's good. It'll tell me where the gas station is when I need to get gas. It'll tell me what the weather's gonna be like when I get there. It'll tell me exactly how long it'll take between here and there. And we're so accustomed to that here that we don't realize that following God is nothing like that, and it's more like using a compass. Do I have any former Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts in the room today? I got a couple of hands, right? When you get a compass and you're trying, all a compass will do is tell you which direction to start walking. You don't know how long it's gonna take. You don't know what kind of terrain awaits you along the way. You don't know what's gonna happen between here and there. You have no idea if you're gonna be able to turn left or turn right or what do I, it just gives you a direction and you have to kind of take a step out by faith. That's what following God is like. God says, go in a direction, and you're not gonna know how long it's gonna take, and you're not gonna know what awaits you on the other side, and you're not gonna know what the terrain is like between here and there, but if you'll trust me, and if you'll walk by faith and not by sight, and if you'll be willing to do and take the journey with me, then I promise you, you're gonna get to where I want you to be. And some of us are waiting on God to tell us where Frisch's is because we're getting hungry. And some of us are waiting on, what's it gonna be like when I get, what time am I gonna get there? I got plans. And God says, you need to forget about all of that and you just need to trust in me and take a journey with me and know that when you get to where you're supposed to go, you will know that you have arrived. After 3 days of traveling, the Bible says Abraham lifted up his eyes. After they had traveled, they set out on that journey with God. They didn't know what it was. They knew they had to go to a mountaintop, so they understood that it was gonna be an arduous journey. They understood that it wasn't gonna be an easy journey. And I gotta tell you, anywhere going with God, anywhere worth going with God is never easy. Anywhere worth going with God is never easy. There's gonna be bumps along the way. There's gonna be misfortune along the way. There's gonna be some scary moments along the way. But like Pastor Urshan preached last week, that's how you learn to trust in God. Yeah, because when you get there, you can look back and say, you know what, I never would have made it on my own. I never would have got here by myself. I never would have lasted, but God, who was with me and who was, see, God can only get the credit when we follow after him. And Abraham gets to that place and he can see that place afar off, the scripture says. And he lifts up his eyes and sees the place. Oh, can I just encourage you today on whatever journey you're on, if you could just lift up your eyes, you will see what God wants you to see. If you could just lift up your eyes, you'll see the place that God wants you to be. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw that place that he had arrived. It had been a tough journey, mostly uphill. A lot of things unknown, a lot of questions unanswered, lots of unnecessary things asked of him. His son's life was in the balance, but Abraham had faith through the trial and he obeyed God. And Abraham was still looking for that city whose builder and maker was God. And yet in that pursuit of that place, God had led him to this place. Huh. What was this place? Why couldn't it have been any other place, Lord? Why not a place that's a little closer to home? Why not a place that was easy to navigate, God? Why? What's so special about the place that you've called me to? But the closer that Abraham got to the top of that mountain, where God was, by the way, the more familiar Abraham became with what he heard and with what he felt. When I started out, it just felt like it was going to be a tough journey, but the closer I got to where God was, when my proximity changed, then my perspective began to be altered. The closer that I got to God, the more I began to be able to feel him, and the more I began to be able to understand by and by. When I got closer to where he was, things began to come together, and they began to make sense, and I began to see clearly, and the things I couldn't see before. When I got closer to where God was, he could sense that his perspective was being altered by his proximity to Almighty God. And when Abraham arrived at that place, all he could do was build an altar. I said all he could do was build an altar. And as God had required, he laid his son on that altar. And as he thought about what he was going to have to do, and as he thought about what he was going to have to do, and as he took a deep breath and began to draw back that knife, the Bible says that he lifted up his eyes again, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Oh, Abraham went and took the ram, and he knew that God had done something great, and he offered that ram for a burnt offering instead of his son. And it was a powerful moment, a moment where Abraham could take a deep breath, and Abraham could say that, God was testing me, and this was just a test of my faith, and God has provided for me. God has made a way where there didn't seem to be any other way. And the Bible says that after all that he had experienced, Abraham decided to name the place, and he called that place Jehovah Jireh, which is to say that the Lord is my provider. What are you going to call this place, Abraham? This place? This place. This is the place. This is the place where God has become my provision. This is the place where God, and Abraham literally called the place Jehovah. Not only was Jehovah the provider, but Jehovah was the provision. Oh, I need you to hear that today. Not only was Jehovah the provider, but Jehovah himself was the provision. Yeah. The ram was just a type and shadow of what was to come. The sacrifice being made of a son was only a type and shadow of what would be fulfilled in the New Testament. No, you weren't just making your way closer to provision, Abraham. You were making your way closer to Jehovah. And Abraham, when you get closer to Jehovah, when your proximity gets closer to who God is and where God is, then he will change your perspective. He'll change your perception. He'll change your family tree. He'll change your future. He'll change everything when you stand in awe of Jehovah. And so here's the crux of the message today. God provided for Abraham, but that provision may not have been realized had Abraham not been willing to be in the right place. What Abraham knew was that God said, go to the place, but what he didn't know was that God had also ordered Abraham's provision to go to the same place. Oh, yeah, because we serve a God who doesn't just order our steps, but he orders the steps of my answer. And he orders the steps of my provision. And while Abraham's walking up the side, while Abraham's walking up one side of that mountain in pursuit of God, what he didn't know was that his answer was walking up the other side of the same mountain. And he couldn't see it. And he didn't know it was coming, but God said, no, you're going to a place. And Abraham, if you'll take the journey to that place, then your provision will also take a journey to that place. And when you both arrive at the place, it will be a divine intersection of God's power and God's provision. Let me tell you how to get access to what God has for you. Get closer to the place. Get closer to where God is. Go and pursue where God has called you to go and pursue, because when you get there, your answer will be waiting on you. But they didn't know each other existed until they got themselves in proximity to the place. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a place that God has provided for you. I want you to know that today. There is a place where your healing awaits. There is a place where your prayers get answered. Yeah. There is a place where you hear the voice of God. There is a place where you can be set free from the chains that bind you. There is a place where there's peace that passes all understanding. There is a place where there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is a place where there are pleasures forevermore. There is a place where my perspective and my future can be changed forever. It's a safe place. It's a holy place. It's a place where miracles, signs, and wonders can be performed. And that place is none other than in close proximity to Jehovah. It's none other than at his right hand. It's none other than in the presence of the Lord. There's fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forever. But I don't get those pleasures unless I get right up on his hand, unless I get right up on where he is. I've got to pursue the place. I've got to go to the place. I've got to stand in proximity to where he is to receive what he has for me. I'm closing today. Musicians can come. If you look over in the New Testament, you see the idea of place and proximity continued. When Jesus encountered Zacchaeus, the Bible says he saw him when he was in a certain place. Zacchaeus had positioned himself in proximity so that he could be seen of Jesus. Yeah, when Martha ran out to meet Jesus after her brother Lazarus had died, the Bible says that before Jesus even got to town, Martha ran out and met him in that place of divine intersection. When Jesus wanted to steal off and pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, your Bible says that he went to a place in the garden. When they led him away to be crucified, the Bible says he was taken to a place called Golgotha's Hill. When he rose from the grave on the third day, the disciples showed up at the empty tomb and said, "Behold, come and see the place where the Lord lay." When the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord and in one place. Oh, there is a place. I said there is a place. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, "Behold, I go away to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also." I'm here to tell you today that there is a place for you. There is a place of close proximity that God is calling each and every one of us to. He's calling us unto himself. He's calling us into an intimate relationship with him. He's calling us to a place of prayer and intercession. He's calling us to a place of divine providence, a place where he can provide for all of our needs according to his riches in glory. It's a place that he wants to give us the desires of our heart. If you're here today and you want to go to that place, would you stand with me? There is a place where God provides. I feel like somebody in this room has been looking for the provision of God, and you say, I can't find him. I go over here and he's not there, and I go over there and I can't feel him. I can't find him, and I go to the front and I go to the back, and no matter where I go, I can't seem to get a hold of it. And God wants you to know today that there is a place that he wants to provide. But that place is in his presence. That place is right up by his side. Don't just pursue the provision. Pursue the provider. Don't just seek his hand. Learn to seek his face. Because when you seek his face, you're going to be where you belong. If you're here today and you need your sin forgiven, God is waiting to meet you in this place today. An altar has been provided for you. It just needs your willing sacrifice, and he'll meet you there. If you need your sins remitted, there is a place provided for water baptism in his name for the remission of sin. If you need God's spirit on the inside of you, I've come to tell you there is a place where God provides. If you need a healing for your body, if you need direction in your steps, I want you to know today that God is calling. God is calling you to a place of divine intersection. If you need deliverance today, there's a place. There's a place where God wants to set you free. Whatever you have need of, God says, get up and go to the place, and I will meet you there, and I will provide your every need according to my riches and glory. But I don't get the provision if I don't get in close proximity to Jehovah. Every head bow and eye closed today. Some of you are on a tough journey right now. I want you to know these altars are open. Some of you are climbing a mountain that you don't think you're ever going to be able to scale. And God says, if you'll just come up to where I am, I will meet you there. I will provide your every need. I will let the ram be known to you. If you'll lift up your eyes and if you'll look today, I wonder if you're in this place today and you say, God, I don't want to run away from you. I want to run toward you. God, I don't want to run away from your provision, but I want to run closer to the provider. If that's you today, we're getting ready to sing a song. I wonder if you would just lift your hands right now all across this house. Come on, these altars are open today. These altars are open today. There is a place of provision for you. Let's sing today in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, these altars are open today. Who will come? There is a place. God wants to meet you here today. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
I thank you for the place where you provide. I thank you, God, for that secret place of the Most High where we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, God, take us to that place today. Take us to that place of divine intersection, God, I pray. God, let us know who you are. Let us draw near unto you, oh, God. Oh, Lord, we love you. We thank you. Come on, let's continue to pray. Let's continue to worship. Come on, somebody's receiving what they need today. God is drawing somebody closer to him today. Hallelujah. Somebody's getting access to the provider today. Yeah.